Today is God's Word and the Gospel reading from John chapter 2. I'm going to read again for you verses 3 through 7. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. Dear friends in Christ, fellow saints, cleansed in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Signs mean things. You know this. A red octagonal sign when you come to the corner means stop. The triangle means yield. And that crossbars when you come to a railroad crossing mean there might be a train coming, you better stop. Signs mean things, and they cause us to have reactions to things, hopefully. So what's your reaction to this sign of Christ? What is this sign of Christ? It says the disciples believed. I guess they believed because he turned water into wine. Well, what about these 6 stone jars? Water turned into wine. Huge jars, 20 or 30 gallons. What about that? When I was a student in seminary, my 4th year, I got to take John and the Catholic epistles. You know, John and all the epistles that were written to the churches generally, including 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation, right? Which was also written by St. John. And if you notice in, especially if you read Revelation, there's like 7 of everything. There's 7 angels, right? Each sent to the 7 churches in Asia Minor. And then there's 7 trumpets that the angels blow. And there's 7 bowls that they pour out. 777. And then, if you look at the Gospel of John, there are 7 famous I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. Okay. And then, if you look at the book of John, there's 7 signs that Jesus performs. That are recorded in the book of John. Here at Cana, we have the first sign. The 7th sign is the resurrection. 777. So I had this question. Why are there 6 jars at Cana? So I thought I would ask my professor, Professor Schuchard, how come there's 6 jars? What do you think he said? Because that's how many there were there. Good answer. Good answer. And if that was your answer, you'd be right. Okay, but then it leads to another question, which is, why does John bother to point out that there were 6? I mean, why does he include the detail? Why not just say, well, there were some jars there? There were some jars. You know, it could be 5, could be 6, could be 7, but there's 6. So this bugged me. Well, what do these 6 jars stand for? There's 6 jars. It says they were used for the Jewish rites of purification. Well, gosh, boy, does that sound like baptism? You got water here? He's talking about purification, but Seems like it's a little bit of a stretch. I don't know. Maybe you can draw the connection better than I can. Purification. Well, where do we find our purification? I guess maybe that's a clue. We find it at the cross, where we become purified. It's where Jesus underwent his baptism of fire, you could say, of our death. So what do these six jars signify? Well, there were 6 days of creation, but then they ended on the seventh day. Well, how about that, the seventh day? Well, if you look for another seven in the book of John, the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, John goes through day by day by day the first 7 days of Jesus' ministry. After he returned from the wilderness, I guess. And the seventh day is the third day that we heard in the reading. 3 days after he calls his first disciples, the seventh day is the wedding at Cana. So there's the seven. But why are there 6 jars of water and not 7? So what do these 6 jars stand for? What do they point to? Why are they a sign? Well, they're a sign, clearly, of Jesus' divinity. Because only God can turn water into wine. Now, in our world, people like to deny that there are miracles. Why? Because they like to deny that there's God. That's the reason. And how do they do that? How does the devil, through the world, tell you that there aren't miracles? Well, boy, they sure say a lot of those things in the Old Testament, well, they were just coincidences. Well, it's kind of hard to say this one was a coincidence. Water turning into wine. So it's not that. So they say, well, then it never happened. Okay? It never happened. Or they say, it couldn't happen. Because it never happens in nature. Right? Well, of course it never happens in nature. It wouldn't be a miracle otherwise. And then if you really think about it, if you have a God who can create the universe in 6 days, why couldn't he do this? Of course he could. In fact, you would expect that he would make some sign to show his divinity. So this is it. Well, this is one of them for Jesus. And as I told you before, this is one of 7 signs that Jesus shows his divinity. 7 miracles. And then when you get to the end of the book of John, it says, these signs were written down. There were many signs, but these are written that you may believe and that you may have life. Okay, but there's still 7 signs and I only have 6 jars. Okay, where am I going? Well, what about what Jesus says to his mother? Did you catch that part? He says to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, I don't know about you, but if I ever went home to my mom and say, "Woman, what's for dinner?" Probably nothing. He calls her woman. Now, much ink has been spilled on many pages about why he calls her woman. Because this is unusual. And clearly it's different from calling her mom or dear mother or something. But if you notice in the book of John, he refers to just about every woman as woman. And you could say, and you'd probably be right, that Jesus here is showing his compassion for the bridegroom who's going to be embarrassed. And he's showing that he's not under obligation to his mother. He's not doing this because mom told him to do it. Jesus, go turn that water into wine. No, Jesus makes his own decision, and he does do it. And you could say, well, that puts Mary on the same level as the rest of us. We can all go to Jesus with our concerns and our cares, and he will listen to us. And that's true. But there's still six jars of water there. Okay. Well, where else in the whole Gospel of John, where else does Jesus call his mother woman? It's at the crucifixion. Jesus goes to the cross for the purification of the sins of you and me. And he looks down from the cross and he says, "Woman, behold your son. Woman, behold your son." And like many things in the book of John, that has two meanings. Behold your son, Christ, who is on the cross, the son whom you bore, the son who you raised, the son who went with you to that wedding in Cana. He's on the cross now for you. And also, behold your son, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the author of the Gospel of John, who's now going to take care of you. Woman, behold your son. And then he says to the disciple whom he loved, to John, he says, "Behold your mother." And from that time forth, John took her into his own house to take care of her. Then what does it say? John chapter 19. Let me read it to you. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was not finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." This is the point in which his hour has come. His hour to purify you and me, to forgive our sins. A jar full of sour wine stood there. And so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That's where the seventh jar is, brothers and sisters in Christ. He provides that good wine, that best wine, the best you've ever tasted, to you. When he exchanges it for the sour wine of our lives, the sour wine drawn from sin and death and suffering, he takes that cup of sour wine and drinks it that day on the cross for you and me. And he gives us the good wine of eternal life. the good wine of the resurrection and everlasting life. Jesus takes that cup of sour wine and gives you the cup of good wine for the sake of your eternal souls and your salvation. That's where the seventh jar is. Dear friends in Christ, if you don't want to believe in the miracle of the sixth jars, believe in the miracle of the seventh jar. This is the sign of what Jesus did for you. Life everlasting because of what He did for you on the cross. The disciples knew and believed, it says, verse 11, because of the six jars. They didn't get it until the seventh jar. Believe because of what Christ has done for you, what He gives you, eternal life in His name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.